Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 19 through 21st, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Message 1. Man is the meaning of the universe. Scripture reading Genesis 1:26 through 28, 2, 7, and Zechariah 12:1.
I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. My name is Emmanuel, and I just know the Lord Jesus is so happy.
Amen.
To see a group of young people like yourselves who have paid a price to leave everything behind for a weekend to hear God's pure word.
Amen.
You know he's smiling right now.
Amen.
Even while we were singing, I just felt so happy to see so many young people loving the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And when I was in college, I got invited to come up here, at first I said no. I had midterms, and I was in a home gathering, maybe like you have back where you're at, and we were singing hymns, and we were reading the Bible, and the Lord just, you know, in me, just bothering me. Up the mountain, Emmanuel, you're going to miss something great. And by the end of the home meeting, I'm like, no, I changed my mind. I want to go. There is no price that's too great.
Amen.
To be here together to hear God's word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we're all here. Is there any? Can I see all those that came here for the first time? Maybe just a show of hands. Really? Okay. Oh. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to welcome you. Welcome you to enjoy Christ. Welcome you to enjoy God's Word. Okay, why don't we go ahead and look at the packet we all have. The title of this conference is The High Gospel. And real quickly, why don't we just go through our packet and read the title of each message. There are four messages. All right. Altogether, man is the meaning of the universe.
Christ
is the meaning of human life. Church is the expression of Christ. Go disciple all the nations. All right, praise the Lord. Just real quickly, there are four messages up here. But don't think that just us coming up here and speaking to you is the entirety of the conference. I'd like to just let you know that before every message, we like to sing.
Amen.
We like to praise our Lord.
Amen.
We like to enjoy Him.
Amen.
Warm up our heart to love Him.
Amen.
We're not very quiet up here. We cry out loud to Jesus.
Amen.
Because we love Him so much. And then during the messages, I encourage you all to take some notes. Be sharp, attentive students. You're all college students, right? Amen. Okay, most of you. And then afterwards, there'll be mics set up. If this is your first time, you might not know this, but this is your opportunity to share what you enjoyed from the messages. And we really look forward to this. This is actually, you know, the highlight. Not our speaking, but Christ speaking through you. Actually, speaking through all of us. Amen. And then you'll have time. There's some ministry excerpts for each message. I encourage you all, when you get back to your hotel rooms or cabins or wherever you'll be staying, to have some time in groups to get into the ministry excerpts. They're absolutely wonderful. And you'll really have a much more fellowship, a deeper, greater, higher understanding, and more opportunity for the Lord to speak to you.
Amen.
It was a really good time. Don't waste any time up here. We paid a great price to be here.
Amen.
Don't waste a single moment.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Let's see. Amen. Lord Jesus. Well, I want to first share with us all what we mean by the high gospel. What is the high gospel? Well, it's the gospel that's from God's word.
Amen.
That is of God, right? And it's the gospel that can fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
It's not only the gospel that satisfies us, but it satisfies God.
Amen.
This is the gospel we're talking about. That's somewhat qualitative. Quantitatively, this gospel is full. It is full.
Amen.
It is complete. And I'll even say we're not going to add any extras. No human opinion.
Amen.
Just God's word.
Amen.
Okay? I'd also like to say, when we speak of the high gospel, we do not mean that it's unattainable. You know, like high, far away. We don't mean that it's unattainable or abstract or theoretical. It is very practical.
Amen.
And all of us can receive it, live by it, and announce it.
Amen.
We really believe this. In Romans 1:1, the Apostle Paul, in sharing the gospel, he calls it the gospel of God.
Amen.
But then towards the end, Romans 16:25, he is praying to establish our souls in his gospel. He calls it my gospel. Well, we want the gospel we all hear tonight to become our gospel.
Amen.
How about that? The gospel that's from God's word. The gospel that's from God himself and can make God happy.
Amen.
Yeah? Amen. Okay. Okay, the title of tonight's message, why don't we all open our packets? Man is the meaning of the universe. Want to read that all together?
Man is the meaning of the universe.
Oh. I know in the singing we got really excited with Christ is the meaning of human life. And also, go, right? But before we see these things, we have to spend some time here. In this message, we're going to see man from God's point of view. Right? As revealed in God's word. Right? Man is the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. From God's word, we see that the center of God's universe is man. From God's word. Right? Okay, I'd like to read Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4 to you. Okay. When I see your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is mortal man that you remember him, and the son of man that you visit him? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Well, this was written by David the king, and he wrote Psalms 3 through 7 before this. And he was just caught up in an earthly situation, just a mess, really messy situation. And he has a lot of enemies and a lot of adversaries, a lot of problems. And in this verse, in this psalm, he turns his eyes to the heavens. In the darkest night, right, it says stars and moon and stars. He looks to the heavens, right? But then he has to look back to man. And there's a reason. It's because man is the meaning of the universe. Right? You know, we love to look at the stars, the moon. The whole universe is beautiful, right? But God looks at man. God remembers man.
Amen.
God visits man.
Amen.
What does God think of us? Okay. What is man? We're going to see. Let's read A together. The heavens are for the earth, the earth is for man, and man has a spirit for God. This is the goal and the meaning of the universe. Amen. Let's read Zechariah 12:1 together if you have your Bible. You can open to it. If you don't have your Bible, maybe the person next to you does, and it would be very nice to share. Okay. Let's read it together. The burden of the word... Amen. Let's start over. The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel. Thus declares Jehovah, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Hallelujah. 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 This is a great verse. Oh, there's a ranking here. I don't know if you can see it, but let me show it to you. Heavens, earth, man. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Have you ever considered yourself as great as the heavens? As the earth? How about even higher? How about even greater? Because there's also an order in this verse, right? First it's the heavens, and then it's the earth, and then there's the spirit of man within him, right? And in particular, it brings out the spirit of man, because man is for God. And this spirit, man's human spirit, is made to contact, receive, and contain God.
Amen.
Man was created for God.
Amen.
The heavens are created for the earth. The earth is created for man.
Amen.
And man with his human spirit is created for God.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Great! Awesome! Man is the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
This is God's word.
Amen.
This is God's view of you.
Amen.
This is so true. Everything else would be a lie. Okay. Isaiah 42:5 there, I encourage you to look that up on your own. It says essentially the same thing. Okay, let's read B together. Man is the center and the meaning of the universe because God has fully entrusted man with his purpose.
Amen.
All right, let's look up Genesis 1:26 through 28. Let's read that together. You know, it's critical that we open God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Are we there? Genesis 1:26. 27 and, well, let's just do 1:26 for time's sake. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." That's right. Amen. God created man and gave man, actually made man in his own image and after his own likeness, right? And he also gave us, he entrusted us with his dominion over all the creatures. All the creatures. Even the creepy things. That's right. Even the greatest creep of them all. Satan the creep. You know that serpent? He's a creep.
Right.
And you know what? He bothers us a lot, but we have dominion over him.
Amen.
You believe God's word?
Amen.
I do. Man also is created in God's image.
Amen.
Do you realize God wants to be expressed in this creation? Specifically, he wants to be expressed in man. That's why we're here. This is what satisfies God's heart.
Amen.
This is his will. When he sees man expressing him and exercising this dominion to subdue the rebellion in this universe, he's happy.
Amen.
He's satisfied.
Amen.
We'll get more to this in a moment. Okay, let's read
Let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
Man is the center of God's eternal purpose.
Amen. Man is the center of God's eternal purpose. Right? And one of the verses here, Ephesians 3:11, it speaks of God's eternal purpose. I'd like everyone to know something. Our God is not arbitrary. He has a purpose. And it's an eternal purpose. Nothing can deter Him from this purpose. You know what a purpose is? It means He has a determined intent. Right? We saw there His intention in man in Genesis 1:26, that He would have His express God and have dominion. Right? It's a determined intent. You know, we also know the story, you know, two chapters later, man failed God. Right? Satan came in. Instead of exercising dominion and expressing God, man fell horribly, miserably. Right? What is man? What is mortal man? You would remember him. Our God remembered us. Our God remembered us. Even though we failed Him in His eternal purpose, He remembered us. And He visited us. Right? He came as a man to fulfill God's eternal purpose. He would not let us go. God has an eternal purpose.
Amen.
Nothing can break God. Nothing can hinder Him from getting His eternal purpose. This is the truth in God's Word. Let's read Revelation 4:11. I love this verse. Can I ask you something? Why does everything exist? Heavens, earth, man, I'd like everyone to know this verse for the rest of their life. Why is everything here? All right, let's read this verse together. You know, you're going to be asked this question at least once in your life. Okay, let's read this together. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For You have created all things, and because of Your will they were and were created. Why? Right. Because of His will. It's God's will. God's will. Oh, God has chosen man. This is God's will, that man would receive God and express God and exercise His divine authority. This is His will. And He created all things for this.
Amen.
The heavens are for the earth.
Yes.
Earth is for man and man is for God.
Amen.
We are for God's will.
Amen.
This is the truth.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, I have to go on. Okay, B. Let's read B together. Actually, hold on. Let's go ahead and read B, all together. Brothers, subpoint 1. Sisters, subpoint 2. And then all together, subpoint 3. And then we're going to open the Bible. Okay? Okay, let's read it all together.
Man is the climax and the center of God's creation.
To accomplish the work of creating man,
there was the need of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. A council was held among the three of the Godhead regarding the creation of man.
It
is man. He rested because he was satisfied.
Okay, wow. Praise the Lord. There's a lot there. But let's look at it from God's Word. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 11 and 12. Okay, if you have it, why don't we read it together? And God said, "Let the earth sprout grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit according to their kind, with their seed in them upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with their seed in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Right? Good. Thank the Lord for the plants. Right? On the third day, he created the plant life. And you can see when God created that he was building up to something. Here we see that the lowest life form, right? Grass. Right? And then it goes up to fruit bearing and like this. But still, do plants have a soul? No. They're a physical entity, right? Living. There's a small expression of God. And they are made after their own kind, right? They propagate. But it's just very small in his creation. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see where we end up. Okay. Genesis 1:21. Now we're on the fifth day. Let's read Genesis 1:21 together. And God created the sea, right, and every living animal that moves, with which the waters swarmed, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Right? So the grass is good. Right? The fish are good. Right? The birds are good. Right? And they're all made after their own kind. And again, you can see some maturity in life. Right? Right? Now we have animals. Animals have something of a soul, right? You know? If you feed a dog, he gets happy, right? It's very simple, right? But here it's a lot less. A fish, I don't know, you know, a bird. Some birds can talk to you. You know? And they're all after their kind, okay? This is very, this is good. Okay, this is good. Let's keep going. Now Genesis 1:24 and 25. According to their kind, cattle and creeping things and animals of the earth, according to their kind. And it was so. And God made the animals of the earth according to their kind, and the cattle according to their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Right. Again, more maturity, right? Higher life form. Higher life form, and all according to their kind. This is very important. I'm getting to this. Right? Okay. Let's continue. Genesis 1:26. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth."
Amen.
Okay, we need to stop here. Because God stopped here. I don't know if you can notice that. It says, and God said, "Let us make man." Let us. You know, what's implied here, and we read in the point here, is that there was a divine counsel in the triune God.
Amen.
Our God is a triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And when it came to creating the climax of his creation, he paused, he considered, he fellowshipped, right? And he came up with man. He said, "Let us make man." You know what? He said, "Let us make man in our own image." With every other animal. Every other animal. It was according to its kind. It doesn't say that with man. It doesn't say that in this verse. What does it say? Says, "Let us make man in our own image."
Amen.
So let me ask you, what is man? What kind are we after? We are God's kind.
Amen.
Without a doubt. We are God's kind. We are made after his own image.
Amen.
Right? In his own likeness. We are God's kind. One of the verses here that's cross-referenced is Acts. Let me see. Acts 17, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And is it 27? Sorry. 28? Okay. Okay. Here talks about us being the race of God. The word in Greek is genos. I might be saying that wrong, but it's genos. And it can be translated offspring, it can be translated race, and it can be translated as kind. We are God's kind. Think about that. Think about that. We are God's kind to express kind. What an amazing truth in the Word. You know, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know the real burden in this message is that we would see ourselves according to God's viewpoint. This is God's viewpoint. We are made after God kind. Oh, and we are made to fulfill His eternal purpose.
Amen.
Right? Of image and dominion.
Amen.
Right? Image and dominion.
Amen.
Right? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. There is one sub-point. I got to just touch this briefly. That on your campuses, there's another gospel being preached. It's the satanic gospel. It's one that rejects God the Creator. It's one that says the universe is meaningless, purposeless, and so are you. Really. It's one that says, right? We've heard it in our classrooms. We've heard the Big Bang Theory, right? We've also studied, maybe some of us studied biology. I was a biology major. We're told that we are in the animal kingdom. Right? Have you ever heard that? Right? Animal kingdom, mammalian, primate, homo sapien. Right? I'd like to tell you there is someone behind that. It is Satan. Yeah. The creep.
Yes.
This creep wants you, well, he wants to devalue you. He wants to devalue you in your own eyes. He wants to devalue you so that you would be totally kept from fulfilling God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Right? He says the universe is a long string of impossible chance events. And that's why we're all here. I know we're here because of God's will.
Amen.
What do we lean on? God's Word.
Amen.
Yeah, you see something, right? Very narrow. And you take it as a whole truth. And, you know, our professors, don't get mad at them. I don't think they're intentionally lying to you. But the one behind them, Satan, they don't know they're even under his control. They don't know. Don't get mad at them. Pray for them. You know, your friends, maybe, you know, some atheists. Pray for them. They're for God's purpose.
Amen.
We're not here to judge them, but we do hate Satan.
Amen.
Right? We hate Satan. And we reject this lie absolutely.
Amen.
Right? We are not in the animal kingdom. You know what kingdom we're in? God's kingdom.
Amen.
That's right. We are in God's kingdom.
Amen.
You know, you consider animals, they have something of a consciousness, but only man has God consciousness. This is truly the highest life. We are in a class all on our own. Have you seen an animal build a shrine to God? Anyone? Any kind of animal? No animal tries to pray. No animal tries to read the Bible. Only man, because God put in us a spirit.
Amen.
And this spirit is for God.
Amen.
Right? We are not animals. You see, if we take in this lie, not only will we devalue ourselves, but our living will be worthless.
That's right. Amen.
Our living will be worthless.
Amen.
In God's eyes. Yeah, maybe you have some attainments in this life, but in God's eyes, the measuring stick is Christ and His eternal purpose. You know? So let's absolutely shame the enemy.
Yeah.
this conference. Let's enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Let's enjoy God's Word.
Amen.
And let's realize who we are.
Amen.
We are man.
Amen.
We're the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
And we're the center of God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
And Brother Brian now will share with you.
Let's have the brothers read the focus and then the sisters read it at the bottom.
Man is the meaning of the universe because he is the center of God's eternal purpose.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm a VIP.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, you're a VIP. Amen. You know what that means? Y'all know, do they use that term anymore? I grew up with that term. So, what's it mean? Amen. I tell you, to God, man is a VIP. And to us, we're VIPs. And so we really want to continue to communicate to you all is God's view, sensation, and attitude toward us, man. When we say man, girls, do not be bothered by that. If you're a born-again believer and you're a girl, you're a son of God. And brothers, if you're born again, you're part of the wife of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so when we say man, we're not excluding gender specific. We mean the vessel God made. And also, we want to communicate somehow the feeling, the heart throb, the intensity, the worth, the value, the preciousness of man to God. So precious. You think about it. So valuable. I came across this verse in Genesis today. Genesis 9:5-6. And indeed, this is Jehovah telling Noah. And indeed, your lifeblood I will require. From every animal I will require it. And from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God, he made man. You know why murder is so perverted? Because you have taken the life of someone that had the capacity and was born to contain God. And the other thing I saw this week when I was reading the Word is, after the fall of man, when Adam fell in the garden, we'll develop that a little bit, his sons, he had two boys, Cain and Abel. The very first event recorded in the Bible was murder. He didn't embezzle Abel. He didn't steal from him. He didn't cheat. He killed him. The first sin is murder. And then man began to fall and fall and fall and fall. Do you know what that was? That was a mock. That was a mock to God. That was mockery to God. And Satan has only one interest. You know, even mean, rotten people, we still kind of have a heart for them sometimes, you know? I mean, you wouldn't wish it on a dog that they would perish. But there's one person we have zero tolerance for. That's the creep. Amen.
Amen.
He's a loser.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
I'm a VIP.
Hallelujah.
So that's the value. Thank you. The value in God's view toward mankind is so precious. Maybe you were driving up on the mountain, drove by and saw some roadkill, squirrel, possum, skunk. Probably the brothers just kept on driving, no big deal. Maybe the sister said, oh, I feel so sorry for them. Their baby's going to be motherless. You know, that's the way girls think. Well, if you saw a roadkill on the way up, you probably haven't even thought of it since you've been up here. But how about if you drove up the mountain today and you saw three bodies? Yeah. You couldn't even concentrate today. Why? That's how valuable man is. That is how valuable human beings are. We're not the same as animals. I'm offended by that. I'm not a primate. I'm not like an ape. I may look like one. I mean, the one may look like me. You know, they say genetically, the genetic makeup of an ape and a man are so close, very close. But the gap, okay, but the difference between them, the gap, is a billion miles. It may be close to a point, but the gap is huge. Okay, I'm going to give you $99 billion. And I'm giving you $99 billion. Are you happy, John? $99 billion. Okay? Now, you multiply that times one. What do you have? You multiply that times zero. What do you have?
Zero.
Oh, but they're so close. Only one digit off. You got zero and he's got 99 billion. That's the gap. Do you see that? Do you see the value of man? So what if a lion, you know, lions look like the face of a man. They haven't changed in thousands of years. They haven't made a computer. They can't ride a bike. They're doing the same thing. They have not progressed in any way, shape, and form because they're not a man. We're men.
Amen.
We're very special. How about John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief there? Say it.
Satan
the creep. Don't be quiet in that respect. Who's the thief there? Satan the creep. What does he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. What does the Son of God come to do? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. Satan wants to kill man. God wants a life man. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the situation in the world today. On campus, there's only two things going on in your campus. I'll tell you what they are. Satan killing, God life imparting. That's it. North Cal State Northridge. That's all that's happening there. See, son. See the sun. Amen. And then the last thing I want to say, along our, Emmanuel's part, is this. He called it devaluing. I like to say desensitizing. There's a scheme of the enemy to desensitize our appreciation of man. Yeah. It mainly comes through videos, games, and it mainly comes through movies with the absolute unlimited violence at any level. You just games designed hours in front of games, killing, 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 killing. So what do you do when you come across your neighbor? You want to kill him. No big deal. You know, they find out these shootings on college campuses. They find out what the guy had been doing for 6 or 7 years, watching these games. He wasn't reading his Bible. Just watch him. You watch him. You know, man, you're just an image. And now with technology, you have life-size image. You got 3D image. You could almost touch the person and kill him. It desensitizes our heart toward man. But man is so valuable. Oh, praise the Lord. So valuable. I tell you, we want you to leave this weekend. You know, when you see someone, when you talk to someone, internally at least, you recognize their value. I would tell you this, be honest with you. Even the lowest loser man, I tell you, is more precious than a dog to God. You think God really cares for a dog over a man? Even if the man is wretched, perverted, and sinful, can a dog ever receive Christ? Can that man? Yes. So valuable. So precious. Let's read C together. Go. God created Amen. Image and dominion. Image is inward. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Figure that out. Colossians 1:15. Image is inward. We were made in a way to contain the attributes of God. God is love. God is light. God is righteousness. God is holiness. We have the ability to express Him in His image. We also have the likeness. We have the form. We have the form of God. That's how He created us in that way. And we also have His authority and His dominion. We have to exercise His authority. We don't do it in the way maybe in the Old Testament where the Israel went in there and killed all the kings and slaughtered them and got the land back. That's in the New Testament we exercise our authority by exercising our spirit. By living Christ, by enjoying Christ, we exercise our authority over the enemy. You've probably been praying for some, praying for a friend, praying for a cousin, praying for a classmate, and you sense, we need to bind the devil. We disagree with that. How many were supposed to come up this weekend in the last an hour before they came up, something came up? You know, they couldn't make it this weekend. Where did that come from? We have to exercise our authority. So image, dominion, ID. Don't leave without your ID. Always have your ID on you. You're in God's image and you have God's authority. Okay, let's read one together. Go. Amen. Okay, we'll be reading through this whole outline. We're not going to hit all the points on the outline. But prepare yourself for the next 8 minutes, because we're going to really get into this point. God created man in His image as a vessel. Has anybody ever... Is that new to anybody? Do you know that's in the Bible? You weren't created as an instrument for God. You weren't created as a... you weren't created to do really something for God. You were created as a vessel. A vessel. And we know that. Can we read? Brothers, turn to Romans 9, 21, 23. Sisters, turn to 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Okay, brothers, turn to Romans 9, 21 and 23. And sisters, get ready to read 2 Corinthians 4, 7. When you get it, you could go. Oh, sisters, read loud.
Hallelujah.
Are you convinced? Are you a vessel?
Amen.
Do vessels do a lot of things? What do vessels do?
Contain.
They contain and express.
Amen.
We are bottles. We are God bottles. A believer is a God bottle. He is a vessel. He is a vessel. And this vessel has a spirit. This vessel has a spirit. I don't even know how to do this. Let me try it. I'll do it this way. Right? I don't know. Okay. We have a body. We have a body. A body. We have a soul. Our personality. Lions have a body. Don't mess with their body. Lions have a soul. I guess they have a mind. Sure they do. They have an emotion. And they have a will. Don't mess with their will either. But one thing animals do not have, and that's why you could drive by and look at them and not be too upset. They don't have a spirit because the spirit contains God. The spirit is in the same substance as God. John 1:24, God is
spirit.
And we were made with a spirit. Job 32:8, there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Zechariah 12:1, he laid the heavens, the earth, and he formed the spirit in man. That is the vessel, that is the content source to contain God. You know, we are vessels to contain God. In God's awesome creation, we were pure, we were clean, we were undefiled, but we were empty. We were empty. Today, you cannot find an empty person. Everyone is full of something. You can't say, oh, you say, oh, but why do you say that? That guy is empty. He needs Christ. Well, he's filled with emptiness. He's full of emptiness. He's full. We're vessels. And God, in His steps that He will get into in a second, went through a journey, an unbelievably long journey, an unbelievably awesome journey, to make Himself available in the same substance as this part is, so that the two could be together, grafted together. You can't graft an apple tree with an orange tree. Oh, they're both fruit trees. No, you can't graft them. The lives aren't similar enough. But you could graft an orange tree with a tangerine tree. What do you get? Tangelo. No, it's for real. Do you all know that? You're laughing. You know what a tangelo is? Okay, you're from Portugal. Tangelo is that. You graft orange and a tangerine, you get a tangelo. You could graft a peach. Pedro, if you graft a peach to a nectarine, what do you... No, if you... I'll give it away. If you graft a peach to a plum, what do you get?
Peach lemon.
You get a nectarine. The lives are similar. We are vessels to contain God. Okay. What was this? What is it? Coke, right? Most famous brand in the world. Recognition. What does this bottle contain? Why was this bottle made? What was the reason for its existence? Was it meant to contain any other substance? Can you put other things in it? Was it meant for that? Why? Isn't that awesome? So you can contain other things. You see this? Well, you can't see it too well. This is dirt I picked up outside. It's just not that. So, man rejected God. God was the Coke. God is the divine beverage. We'll get into that in a second. He is supposed to enter into man. Man as a transparent vessel expresses God. Have you been around other people that were just filled with God and they express God? You don't have the words for it. You know, they're personally, they're not like you. You wouldn't hang around them normally. Like when your friends are around, you feel a little bit awkward. And yet there's something about them that's really attractive. That's because they got filled with the substance they were supposed to get filled with. Okay, this is sinful man. Dirty, rotten, depraved, perverted man. Well, you don't think a lot of you are like this too much, so you don't say, well, that's not me. Well, maybe you're like this. You know what those are? M&M peanuts. I had about 15 extra when I filled it up. Okay, you know what this is? Maybe you're the academician type, or the philosophical type, or the society type, or you like to, or philanthropical type. philanthropy type. I would never do this. I didn't come from this background. I'm not going to ask you what background you came from, but Were you meant to hold this? Is this the meaning of your life? Were you made by God at this time? Most of you born in the 90s now. Early 90s? I don't know. Early 90s. Well, there was a 57 at one time, right? Well, the most babies were born in 1957, so I have something to say about that. So, anyways, yeah, you could, that's sweet. It's good. Some of you are really good. Some of your backgrounds are really good. You know what? In society, I'd rather have everybody like this. I really would. Think what downtown LA would be if everybody was like this. Why don't you go to the train station at midnight? Because everybody's like this. If everybody was like this, you could just walk into the train station, Union Central, no problem. But you know what? They're not like this. But every human being that has anything other than God in them is a senseless contradiction. Unless you contain God and have God as your content, you are a senseless contradiction. Why? Because we were made for God. So to put anything into us other than God doesn't fulfill the reason why it was made. Do you see the point? We love people that have... I mean, look at what mankind has done for man. I love it. You know, when I was a boy, young boy, praise the Lord for Jonas Salk. He invented the penicillin. Right? No. Polio. Polio. That, you know, a lot of people my age got polio. It was right at that time in the 50s. Thank you, Jonas. Very admirable. And we need people like that. We need that. But you have to see that the reason of our existence is to contain God. We're vessels. I used to sing this song to my kids when they were about 4 years old. I'm a little vessel, short and stout. Here is my spirit, here is my mouth. When I get all stirred up, I just shout, oh, Lord Jesus, and He comes out. Have them follow me. I'm a little vessel, short and stout. Here is my spirit, here is my mouth. When I get all stirred up, I just shout,
oh, Lord Jesus, and He comes out.
So awesome. To be a vessel. Don't do anything. They're just, you know, the secret of being a vessel is you have to have your top open. That's why the brothers say, you know, sometimes you come to the conferences and some are loud. And maybe you pray with certain brothers, they're just so loud. You know, you want to pray, oh, Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for an awesome time. And the brother next to you goes, praise the Lord! Jesus! You know, the jugulars are coming out. Lord, thank you for this day! Well, really doesn't matter how you pray, as long as you pray from your spirit. I'm not for loud prayers, I'm not for quiet prayers. I'm for open prayers. If you're quiet and you open up the top, that's all that matters. If you got to shout a little bit, I tend to lean on that side. Because I'm in my mind so much. Then you need to shout. But you got to get your vessel open. 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 While you're walking down campus, internally, Lord, right now, I open my vessel to you. Dispense yourself into me right now.
Amen.
If you've heard these words before, don't let it. Our prayer coming up here, we drove the mountain today, Brother Emmanuel and I. Our prayer was no history in the college conference. Brand new. Brand new. No history. Don't know how to do it. Don't know how to sing. Don't know how to sit. Don't know nothing. We're just vessels. Vessels to contain God. That's, you know, I said before, the beverage, maybe some of you are new among us and you don't recognize, in God's Word, Jesus is a beverage. He is the liquid God. He's a beverage. In John 7:57, He stood on a chair and He shrieked like a raven and said, if any man thirst, let him come to
me
and
drink.
And
drink.
And
drink.
Jesus. This is not just some guy off the street. This is the triune God embodied. said, come to me and drink. And then he said, he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the verse I got saved on. April 29th, 1977. I love that verse. And I'm still drinking that verse. How about Paul? Paul picked up the thought in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. He says, they all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink.
Amen.
For they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. They drank from a spiritual rock, and the rock was
Christ.
That means they drank Christ. Don't be bothered by that. That's what we're supposed to do. Vessels are supposed to be received so people could drink. Well, he already drank one of my Cokes today. The other one I saved it for you in the refrigerator. I get these. Okay, how about Paul's further thought? 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all positioned to
drink.
To drink. One spirit. Okay, you got Jesus, Paul, Peter's in there. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow unto salvation if you have tasted that the Lord is good. What do you do with milk? Yeah, you don't look at it, you drink it. Who's left? John. Jesus is clear about drinking him. Paul's clear about drinking him. Peter's clear about drinking him. John says in 22:17 of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills take freely the water of life. That's the last call in the Bible. The last call in the divine scriptures, 66 books, is to drink!
Amen.
If you don't want to do it now, you'll be doing it for eternity. That's a long time. Practice drinking now. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, let's just take a drink right now. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We drink him because we have a spirit to take him in. Okay, so let me read to you the next couple things. The Bible, I'll read two. Well, let's read two together. Go. God's intention.
God's intention in giving man dominion is to subdue God's enemy, to recover the earth which was usurped by Satan, and to exercise God's authority in order that the kingdom of God may come to the earth.
You know, I forgot to read one awesome piece of ministry. I have to do it. I forgot at the time about the vessel. So backtrack one sentence. Mankind, the human race, has continually been falling away from God's purpose. Now at the end of time, the Lord is going to bring the human race back to his purpose.
Amen.
God's purpose with man is to have man as his container.
Amen.
In the United States, the young people are enjoying and tasting all the material things. After the enjoyment of all the material things, and after the experience of all the things invented in human culture, they get nothing. There is an emptiness vacuum within them. This is because they were made to be vessels.
Amen.
For God.
Amen.
Nothing can fill you up but God. Education, religion, science, physics, sorry physics majors, marriage, and all the things in human culture cannot satisfy you. Cannot satisfy you. Nothing can fill man up and satisfy him but God himself.
Amen.
Now is the end of time. The end of all the ages. God is going to do something in a fast way to bring back this generation to his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
This is the high gospel. This is the high gospel. When you talk to people, this is what they need to know. That they're vessels to contain God.
Amen.
You know, I got this gospel. I got this gospel in the sophomore year. I was in between this. I was one of these guys. If you mix them together, you had me. I was a nice guy. Everybody thought Brian was a great guy. Nice guy. And then I had a lot of this they didn't know about. Someone, I had no interest. I determined already I would never be a Christian. No way. I wouldn't go to church on Sunday. I wouldn't clean up my act. I wouldn't do all the things that concepts I had about Christians. And I didn't receive the gospel either until someone came and gave me this. And I got God. I got filled with God. I got filled with the meaning of my human life. Okay. D, the Bible reveals man in three stages. First, the God created man in Genesis 1:26. We read that. Second, the Satan corrupted man in the fall, Psalm 8:4. We read those verses. And third, Christ as a man in his incarnation for the accomplishing of God's redemption. Well, there's three men in the Bible. There's the created man, Adam. There's the fallen man in Adam. And then there's Christ, the only man. Brothers and sisters, there's only one normal human being on this earth. That's Jesus Christ. We're all strange. We're all abnormal. The only human being that is bona fide, 100% normal is Jesus.
Amen.
You believe that, Lampstand?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. So all the girls, maybe not in college, or when you're out of college, you're going to be looking for the man to come by. Who's the man going to be? Well, let me tell you, that man ain't the man. You need that man, but he ain't the man. The man is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Perfect, full, boundless, measureless, sinless, exquisite, tender, rich, bountiful, living, flowing, gushing, coursing, moving. That's our Jesus. That's the man God wants. And when he enters into us, we get merged with him, we get grafted with him, and we become those type of men.
Amen.
Every other person will... Who can satisfy us? You know, the girls want a big diamond ring and they get a little gold band. That's what my wife got. I don't know, she's not that happy with that, but she didn't. She got a gold band. You know? You marry a guy with biceps and 5 years later he doesn't have them anymore. It's true. That guy that you marry with blonde curly hair, I know, doesn't have it anymore. The human life is just never satisfying. Look at the divorce rate. Look at the divorce rate. The only one that satisfies is the man in Hebrews 2, which is Jesus.
Amen.
Who stepped out of time into eternity. He stepped out of... No. Scratch it. Rewind that. Cut that tape. He stepped out of eternity
Amen.
Into time.
Amen.
The infinite God became a finite man.
Amen.
Yeah, got it. Okay. And look at A, or 2. God in the heavens remembered man, and then... came, oh, I love this, visit man by becoming a man through his incarnation. You know, I mentioned before the depravity of man, murder, you know, falling. They had illicit relationships with angels. They had cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were all perverted. I can't even talk about it. It's in the Bible, but I can't even talk about it. It's so perverted. But you know what? God never gave up.
Amen.
He never gave up.
Amen.
Because it's his heartthrob. It's his eternal purpose. He can't give up. If he gives up on his purpose, he gives up on his being. And he can't give up on his being. So he became a man. He visited this depraved man. He visited. He took a long journey. Micah 5:2 says, his goings forth, Jesus' goings forth, are from ancient days, from eternity. You know, when Jesus started coming to man, don't think it was 2,000 years ago. You're wrong. He began in eternity coming to man.
Amen.
He's on a long journey. He's on a long journey. He got, when we say the high gospel, we mean the gospel of Jesus Christ, God who became a human being, God who lived an exquisite, tender, fine human life, and God who died on the cross for every one of our sins, past, present, and future. And He resurrected, and in His resurrection, He became liquid, the liquid God, the life-giving Spirit, to get into any believer who would open up, any person who would open up their heart. He visited us. He visited you, Pedro. He visited me. Maybe He got visited at 9 years old. Or maybe you met the Lord at 5 years old. My wife met the Lord at 5 years old. It doesn't matter, but He visited you. And His visiting you is to get into you to fulfill His eternal purpose.
Amen.
What a journey. What a journey. You think about it. And it didn't happen that long ago. It only happened a couple thousand years. I mean, they were writing books back then. Josephus wrote a book. I mean, they were educated. It didn't happen that much. In the span of eternity, that's not that long ago. But He would step out and journey and pick us up. Pick us up.
Amen.
How many of you really didn't have any involvement with Christ until college? Raise your hand. Okay. You got picked up in college. Join the club. We got picked up by Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, some of us had nothing and no interest in Christ. You're looking at a man that had nothing. I woke up Friday morning, zero God. I came home that day having God. I still don't know how it happened. I don't even know how it happened. I went to school. Someone preached the gospel. I came into God's purpose the next day. What happened? You know, I changed so much in my first year. I came home to visit my mom and dad in the valley. My mom said, "Son, you're so different." I said, "Mom, I'm in love with a man." Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I said it faster than that. So I wanted to have a heart attack. Jesus. Jesus will change you. You don't fight to be changed. You don't try to change yourself. You just take in the liquid God. And He fills you with... let me ask you this. Who doesn't want to be filled with reality, purpose, vision, hope? Who doesn't want to be filled with that? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I'll finish up with this. Let me read it. God visited man through the long journey of His process. By process, we mean all the steps that I described. Coming out of eternity. You know, Jesus Christ had no humanity at one point. But He took on humanity. Right? We had no divinity at one point, but we took on divinity. See, come here. You're here. You stand right there. You stand right here. Okay. You're man. You're the wonderful Savior, Jesus. Okay. So, in eternity, in the council, we talked about that. He had a heartthrob. It wasn't the USC Trojans. Nor the LA Lakers. It was man. And He's en route on a journey to get this one right here. He's going to get him. He's not ruthless. Satan's ruthless. He's relentless. He will get that person. Okay, so you take a step, one step, one little step. You're heading toward there. One little step. That's your incarnation. Take another step. That's your awesome human living. Take another step. You died on a cross for every human being. Take another step. You resurrected to change your form to be the Spirit. Take another step. You ascended as a man to be the Lord and Christ in the universe. Yeah, take another step. You're enthroned with glory and honor. Okay, that's His journey. This one here, someone preached the gospel to him. Take a step. Oh, I got regenerated. I got my sins forgiven. Take another step. Oh, I'm starting to get transformed and built up. I'm different than I used to be. Take Amen. Another step. Oh, my mind's being renewed. I used to spend hours just thinking about myself. Now I actually think about God. Take another step. I'm being conformed. I don't look like I used to look. I don't dress like I used to dress. I don't feel like I used to feel. Right? Keep going. And I'm getting in the process of being glorified. See these two? He went through the process. He's inside of him. He goes to the process. Do you see it? Yeah. No. You see the graft? Do you see the journey? Do you know how long this journey was from eternity? From eternity. Do you know how long this journey was? Maybe he's received the Lord at 20, maybe 20 years, especially the last 3 or 4 years. Journeying. He picked them up. Now they're together. They're the Spirit and the Bride. They're inside each other. He lives in him, and he lives in him, and they live one life. He loves him massively. He loves him massively. He took on humanity to enter him. He took on divinity to get inside of him. You see these two? What a couple. What a couple. Right. Love him. You just want to be together. Okay, you can't handle that too much. You know what that one is? He's a VIP.
Amen.
He's VIP.
Amen.
Don't you love that?
Amen.
Doesn't that put divine goosebumps in you? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, let's sing the song 3, just that first stanza. You know, song 3, brothers, get ready pretty soon. We're going to sing about the VIP. Maybe some of you are saying that for the first time. Huh? Is that new? Oh, we're getting your guitars. Okay. We can do it a cappella. Don't worry about the guitars. Oh, praise the Lord. God says a plan. That's why he formed a man to exercise authority, subdue the earth in time. Oh, what a joy to be in his recovery. Oh, praise God. What? V.I. Sisters.
Praise the Lord.
That's why.
Exercise authority.
Subdue the creep. Amen. What are you? V.I. Brothers. Oh, praise the Lord. God has a plan.
Do we have sharing or no?
Yeah, let's go. 10 minutes.
A VIP. Hallelujah.